Take my lips, O Lord, and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take all our hearts and set them ablaze with your love. Amen. Please be seated. While there may not be a war on Christmas, there is certainly a war on Advent. In fact, our society seems bent on erasing Advent. As soon as Thanksgiving dinner is over, the assault begins. Santa shows up in the mall. Christmas sales pop up in every storefront. And the radio waves are haunted by Mariah Carey's 1994 hit single, All I Want for Christmas. It's everywhere. Advent has been replaced by an exhausting pre-Christmas season. The patient waiting of Advent has been replaced by a societal expectation that we hurry up and cook, clean, wrap gifts, and travel. Caught up in this consumer-driven busyness and noise, we are compelled to rush to prepare for Christmas. But this morning, our scripture readings are calling us to prepare in a very different way. After listing a bunch of big names and big places, the Gospel of Luke says that the Word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. My message this morning is this: preparing for Christmas, preparing for the arrival of Jesus, doesn't mean doing it all. Sometimes it means getting away from it all. The Gospel of Luke lists all those big names in big places for a couple of big reasons. Out of all four Gospels, Luke is the most concerned with historical detail. He wants to locate the story of John at a specific moment in human history. But Luke also names the major political and religious players of the day because that is how Scripture introduces a prophet. Luke identifies John according to an Old Testament formula for the call of a prophet. He lists the authorities of the day, names his father, and states the location of his call. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. It did not come to the emperor in Rome, or to the governors in the region, or even to the high priests in Jerusalem, no. Instead, it came to a man unknown to the world in a place that it disregards. But what is crucial for us to understand about John is that he does not receive the word of God and then go out into the wilderness. It is only because he is already there that he can possibly receive it. If John had been a well-behaved son, then his name probably would have shown up in Luke's list of the high priests in Jerusalem. You see, John's father, Zechariah, was also a priest who served in the temple, and it would have been customary for his son to follow in his footsteps. John would have been expected to become a priest. In fact, Annas and Caiaphas may have known John and served alongside his father. But defying all societal expectation, John goes beyond the walls of the temple and out into the wilderness. And it is there, not in the temple, but in the wilderness, that the word of God comes to him. In order to hear the word of God, in order to truly prepare for the arrival of Jesus, John had to get away from it all. The wilderness was a place of preparation and reorientation. It was there that God had rehabilitated the people of Israel after their captivity in Egypt. It was there that God had refined and purified his people. By reorienting himself in the wilderness, away from the busyness and noise of Jerusalem, John was better able to attune himself to the word of God. And that word called him to his true ministry, preparing the world for its coming king. If we really want to prepare for Christmas, to prepare for the arrival of Jesus, then we, like John, need to get away from it all, to retreat to a wilderness place where we can reorient ourselves. Now, I'm not suggesting that we follow John's example by quitting our jobs and moving out into the woods, although that would be interesting. What I'm suggesting is that we try one or two small exercises. First, if you're a more organized person and have a habit of making holiday to-do lists, I suggest that you read through your list and locate the least essential item on it, the thing that would be least harmful not to do, and then cross it off your list. You might be surprised by how much you find is non-essential. Second, if you're a more free-form person, try to find a gap in your day, whether it's 5 minutes or an hour, and retreat to a quiet place, a local park, a bench outside of work, or even the corner of a house. Just a place where you can avoid distraction. And then just sit in silence. You might be surprised by what you hear. And whether you do one or both of these things, use the time that you create to let Advent be Advent. Ask God how you can make room in your heart for the arrival of Jesus. Ask what parts of your life need to be purified by that refiner's fire and that fuller's soap. And ask God to reorient you in the wilderness places of a shortened to-do list and a quiet moment. Advent is a time to wait and prepare, a season that tests our readiness. And my friends, it is always Advent. Yes, of course, the church blocks out 4 weeks of the calendar and calls it the Advent season. But in reality, the church is always living in Advent, always waiting for the second coming of Jesus. John was the prophet of that first Advent. We are the prophets of the second Advent. The preparations that John made for Jesus' first arrival in human history are the very same that we are called to make for his second appearance in human history. And just as society makes war on the season of Advent, so too does it make war on the Advent life of the church. There is nothing better to wait for, the world seems to say. This is it. So consume what you can while you can. But the hope of the church always responds, no. We're waiting for something better. For someone better. And in this sense, the season of Advent is best understood as the church's second coming preparedness program. In a world that tries so hard to distract and disorient us with busyness and noise, the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap take the forms of stillness and silence. In a rushed world, waiting is our wilderness, the place where we can go to be reoriented. The war on Advent will always rage on. So we must ask ourselves whether we will remain captive to doing all, or whether we will fight to break free and get away from it all. Amen.
Amen.